From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Amy Keene, and this is FT News. President Donald Trump has sacked Rex Tillerson as his Secretary of State, which makes the U.S.'s top diplomat the latest casualty of a White House that has been in near constant and open conflict with some of the president's most senior aides. Sam Fleming joins me on the line from D.C. Sam, the former Exxon CEO was confirmed a little more than a year ago. What's happened since then? How did he sort of take on the role of Secretary of State? And if you could describe for us his relationship over the course of the last year with President Trump.
Well, it's been a very fraught relationship between the president and Secretary of State Tillerson, really from early in the administration. First of all, Tillerson himself has had trouble establishing himself at the State Department. He's proven to be a distant figure at State, not popular with staff, relying on a small coterie of advisors, and has presided over a real degradation in morale at State. What's hurt his position more than that is the fact that he's never really established a strong relationship with the president either. They've clashed publicly. They've taken a different approach, for example, on Iran and North Korea, as well as Russia. Mr. Tillerson's response to the poisoning in the UK recently has been far more openly supportive of the UK against Russia than Mr. Trump, who was slow to respond by criticizing Russia. There are famous incidents, for example, the reports that Mr. Tillerson had described the president as a moron, and obviously didn't go down well at all in the White House. So it's been an extremely fraught relationship.
And then on Tuesday morning on the East Coast, the president tweeted that Rex Tillerson would be leaving his cabinet and that his current head of the CIA, Mike Pompeo, would be taking on the role of Secretary of State. Now, before we get to who Mike Pompeo is, can you just describe for us the backdrop? Tillerson is roughly the 10th key member of the administration to leave. We're not much more than a year into Trump's presidency.
No, it's been total turmoil in terms of personnel in the Trump administration ever really since really he came to office. Amongst the major casualties, the biggest casualty now is Rex Tillerson in terms of the size and significance of his position. But only a week ago, Gary Cohn, the director of the National Economic Council, resigned because of a clash with Mr. Trump over the imposition of tariffs on steel and aluminium imports. Earlier in the administration, obviously, we lost Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, who was replaced by John Kelly. Then you have the departure of Stephen Bannon as a top advisor to the president. It's really just been constant churn at the top of the Trump administration. Now, Mr. Trump is now expressing satisfaction with the direction of personnel and policy, suggesting that he has more of a cabinet that he really wants to have in position. But it would be, I think, a foolish person to suggest that we've seen the last of the churn in the top of the Trump administration.
And speaking of policy direction that Trump says that he wants, we've now got Mike Pompeo, who's been a very close ally of the president, now in the role of the U.S.'s, you know, so-called top diplomat. Why was Pompeo selected for this role?
He understands the president's instincts much better than Mr. Tillerson and is much more willing to cater to those instincts. He's been a regular fixture in the morning briefings the president uses, and by all accounts is much better at ingratiating himself with the president and flattering him, which is essential if you want to stay on the right side of Mr. Trump. So as a personality thing, Mr. Trump himself said that they had a better chemistry, the two, than he does with Rex Tillerson, although he also said he liked Rex Tillerson. But there's also a policy element here, and a very significant policy element. Mr. Pompeo is much more of a hardliner when it comes to foreign policy. And again, that plays to Mr. Trump's instincts more than Rex Tillerson, who's more of a moderate, has attempted to be a moderating influence on the president, along with James Mattis, the Secretary of Defense. For example, Mr. Pompeo shares the president's opposition to the Iran nuclear agreement, or the discussions over that agreement, which are going to be ongoing in the coming days and weeks, will be very, very closely followed as a result of this personnel change right at the top of the U.S. administration. He's also, for example, wanted to keep Guantanamo Bay open. And he's also been quick to use more hardline rhetoric, for example, accusing U.S. Islamic leaders of being potentially complicit in the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. And in general, I suppose you could say is more of a nationalist, more of an America First type Secretary of State than Mr. Tillerson.
And this is a really critical moment for the U.S. in terms of its foreign policy. Just last week, the president agreed to a meeting with Kim Jong-un of North Korea. And that's a point of contention between Rex Tillerson and the president. How is this shift going to change the way the U.S. approaches this meeting?
That's right. It was clear from what Mr. Trump said that Mr. Tillerson, although he had the lead on North Korea, was not fully consulted in terms of the final decision by Mr. Trump to take this extremely high-risk decision to directly hold talks with the North Korean regime. And Mr. Tillerson himself, when the decision came out at the end of last week, put out a statement saying it was a personal decision by the president. Mr. Trump this morning was telling the press that he'd made the decision on his own and had done it with minimal discussion with his own Secretary of State, who again was supposedly taking the lead. Now, how that North Korea policy now evolves is highly, highly uncertain. Whether, when, how this meeting will eventually happen isn't known. What's certain is that if you have a change right at the top of the State Department at the time when this is all supposedly being hammered out, it injects even greater uncertainty into the outcome of that process, which, as I said, is, everyone agrees, a high-stakes gamble by the president.
And one thing to note is that Mike Pompeo, even though he was confirmed as head of the CIA, he does have to be confirmed as Secretary of State, which I believe has now been scheduled for early this spring. Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you might be interested in the FT's Future of News conference in New York City on Thursday, March 22nd. Set against the backdrop of consolidation and polarization, the conference will debate the threats and opportunities facing both established institutions and new media. That's on the 22nd of March in New York City. For more information, visit live.ft.com/future news. That's live.ft.com/future news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.